Welcome to Sales and Marketing Talk Show. Today I have Michael Hansson joining me and we are talking about outbound sales cadence. And this is super interesting topic for the listeners and actually for me as well, since we are just in a phase of building our outbound sales engine. So hopefully getting a lot of new ideas as well. So welcome on the show, Michael. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks a lot for having me and look forward to today's discussion.
Yeah. And you have been talking a lot about sales cadences and on your website and actually on your LinkedIn as well, you can find this 30 touches sales cadence. So do you want to share a bit like how did you come up with this 30 touch sales cadence?
Yeah, sure. It's a question I get a lot. And I think that's why it's our most viral bit of content, because people are always like, 30 touches, that's crazy, you can't do that. And essentially the story behind it is, so I set up Growth Genie, my consultancy, 2 years ago. There's four of us in the company who all used to work together at a company called CloudTask. And my colleague Lawrence, who I brought across, when I was working with him, he's kind of like an old school sales guy. He's an older guy. He's been around sales from like the cold calling days with like yellow pages up until now with LinkedIn. And I saw he was just like extremely persistent with people. And he would sometimes get meetings on like touch 25 or even like 35, 45. And I thought there's something to it. And essentially we started doing that with some of our clients. And we still see this at Growth Genie. And what we found is there's two types of people that you reach out to when you do an outbound sales cadence, right? There's people that know they have a problem. So they will respond like touch 0 to 10 and say, hey, I understand this, let's have a meeting. But there's other people who don't reply and they're like, oh, that's interesting, but that's not really a problem for me. But as you go through the cadence is like a story. So as you're telling the story more and more, essentially by the end, they'll convert. You know, we've had some customers for us because we practice what we preach. Actually, our highest paying customer came at like the 8th email, which was like touch 25 or something, which was like our last touch email. And again, I think one of the problems is when people hear 30 touches, they think, oh, that's harassment. But we like to combine quality and quantity. So there's still a lot of personalization and relevance in there. This isn't just like spam 30 touches. It's 30 very thoughtful touches. So our idea is to contact, you know, 50 to 100 contacts rather than 5 to 600 contacts, but contact them a lot of times and with thoughtful messaging.
Yeah, that's great. And I think for me, even though I believe that there should be a lot of contacts, but even I was thinking like first time when I heard like 30, that's a lot. But then of course, like one thing that I realized like right after that one was that I think there might be many people thinking that it's 30 touches and it's an email sequence and like first message is tailored, but then all the other 29 are like, hey, did you get my message? Any update on this one? But when you go like multi-channel and you are adding value in all the touch points, it really gets way different. But do you hear a lot like 30 touches is super much?
Yeah, no, of course. And I you know, you make a good point there, because when you don't explain it, you think it's crazy. And to me, again, before I met Lawrence, my colleague, I was like, I would never do that. It's insane. But I saw him getting results. And again, it's about all the touch points together, because it's only 6 or 7 LinkedIn touches. And again, we only recommend contacting people on LinkedIn if they connect with you. So if they don't connect with you, then you get actually the cadence is going to go down to like under 24 touches. Then yeah, you've got about 6 to 7 touches on email. And then you've got about 10 to 15 calls. Now the calls seems like a high amount, but again, some people don't answer their phone. So you may have to contact them a lot of times in order to get through to them. So it's kind of using every chat. And the reason we recommend a multi-channel approach is because like for me, I think email is the lowest converting channel now, but people, you still get deals from email. Some people prefer email. Other people pick up the phone. Other people are more active on LinkedIn. So you just kind of have to find out which channel is the best. And then we've got things like videos, voice notes, a lot of like personalized touches in there as well.
Yeah, exactly. And for example, if we think about email, I think a lot of people are thinking that email isn't working. And it might be if you are like sending like super general messages to a lot of people, but I typically like have found out that if you send something super personalized to some person, actually like a lot of people are answering that one. So I think it's more about like really about the message, if it's relevant to that person, rather than the like method that you are using for that.
Yeah, exactly. The messaging is always more important than the medium. But then the medium is like the secondary thing, which is still important. Like I got on a call the other day with a CEO of like a 300 person company. And he was saying to me that like we preach about videos and voice notes, right? And I actually sent him a video and a voice note. He said, look, I didn't listen to them because I'm on calls all day and I can't listen to what you're saying because I'm speaking to other people. And he's just reading other things while he's like a multitasking type personality. But a lot of people aren't like that, right? They like to focus on one thing at a time. So you just got to understand like the mind of your buyer and how it works.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think that's like great point, because typically I think salespeople are thinking like, what is the thing that I'm good at? I'm good at doing cold calls, or I'm great at writing good messages, or I'm great at doing videos. But actually what I think you should be thinking is like, what is the thing that the buyer is enjoying? Because there are a lot of people who like really get a wow effect when you are sending a video, but then at the same time, there are a lot of people who are like, I'm not watching any videos. I'm not wasting my time for a 2-minute video or so.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, let's hop into the Cadence itself. First of all, if someone wants to get Cadence and see that one like inside their screen and follow up on that one, what is the best place to get that Cadence?
Yeah, sure. You're welcome to connect with me on LinkedIn. It's just Michael Hansen, Growth Genie. Just say, oh, interested in your sales Cadence. I'll send it over to you. It's also on our website. I think if you go into, there's a bit called Sales Tips, and then we've got the Cadence on there. That's growthgenie.co. It's not growthgenie.com, unfortunately. We couldn't get the domain. It was taken. I'm sure you know about that, being an agency. And yeah, I think you were asking around like what's in the Cadence, like at the start of the Cadence. Is that right?
Yeah, like first thing was like where people can get it. But first, send a message to Michael on LinkedIn and you will get it quite fast. Actually, I got it super fast when I messaged it to you. But let's hop into the Cadence and like what happens on the first day? Where do you start with?
Yeah, sure. So one of the things that's interesting about us is in the first email, the first LinkedIn messages, we never ask for a meeting, right? And you see that in the Cadence. It'll say, day one, send an email, but it's an awareness email. Don't ask for a meeting. Now, the reason we do this is we're trying to establish trust with the buyer before we start going into our product. So normally what I recommend is have a meeting with your marketing team and say, what's our top performing bit of content? And it's a piece of content. It shouldn't be anything to do with your service. It should be something you can give to your buyers that's going to help them in their job. So I can give you an example. This Cadence, for example, I know that people love this Cadence and they're always interested in it because it's 30 touches. So if I was to approach someone on LinkedIn, I'd normally say, hey, I noticed you have an SDR team. I imagine they're using sales cadences. Would you be interested in seeing our 30 touch template? Maybe they can use it. They say, yeah, sure, send it over. And then I've started a conversation with them. And if I cold call them or do something, then that conversation's already there. So that's what we recommend. The first thing is to ask if they're interested in a piece of content. Now, what we used to do, and this is a thing we've learned over the years, we used to just give them the piece of content, right? So we used to go like, here's the Cadence, and you put the link in there. Now, we stopped doing that for two reasons. One, if you put links in the first email of your message, email security now often sends you to spam because people get like hacked through links. The other part of it is if you say, would you be interested in seeing the Cadence? They have to reply to you and say yes. And then suddenly you're in a conversation with them. A little hack as well is if they reply, their phone number's in the signature as well. So you can get their phone number to give them a call. So that's the first step. And then we also call them. We also connect with them on LinkedIn as well. So we call that like the triple threat. That's day one. Connect with them on LinkedIn. Call them. Most people are probably not going to answer. And you're going to send them an email with a bit of content. Now, just to take one step back as well, because I should have said this at the start, the place where everyone goes wrong when it comes to sales cadences is actually who are we targeting? Who's going to be our ideal customer profile? They spread the net too wide and they end up getting no one. So what we recommend is to go into like a very specific audience. So for example, for us, we look at what we call trigger events. So a trigger event is something that's a, kind of like a buying signal. It's almost like intent data. So we know that if companies are hiring salespeople or even sales management, they probably need help with the training and onboarding of those sales reps. So that's what we look for. So always think about what's the trigger that's going to help someone, and that those should be the companies that, that you're targeting there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you mentioned that on the like LinkedIn connection and message, and then on the email, you are providing value. But you also mentioned that you are calling them. And for sure, a lot of times, people are not answering that, that phone call. But if they are, is the goal of that phone call to get the first meeting or kind of build the trust only?
Yeah, so I think on the call, it's a bit easier to get a meeting. So we could say it is possible to get a meeting on that. The reason is it's, you can almost have the conversation you're having on email, but you can go to the second step. So if you would say, hey, we've got this sales cadence template that may be interesting for your SDR team, and they'd be like, oh, yeah, brilliant, sure, send it over. And then you could say, look, and then you could have a conversation. How are you writing sales cadences? What's your sort of process at the moment? Are the SDRs getting results? And they say, well, actually, it's a bit of a challenge. Then I'd book a meeting and say, okay, well, why don't we get on a call and we can run through how we can help you with that. So the call is slightly different because it's an interactive channel, but it's the same concept. I wouldn't get on a cold call and say, hey, we're a sales consulting company, can we have a meeting? I'd get on a call and say, hey, noticed you're hiring SDRs. Would you be interested in this cadence template? And then they'd say yes, and then we'd have a conversation. So it's the same principles, but just on a call, you can go into that those other questions afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so then day number one is over the triple thread, and then how many days you should be like waiting after that one? Let's say if you don't hear anything about that person at that point.
Yeah, we normally recommend touches every 2 or 3 days. We think every day is too much, and it's kind of like too aggressive, and you'd be seen as a spammer. If you do once a week, it's kind of not enough and people will forget about you. So we think every 2 or 3 days. And then again, you're kind of telling that story, essentially.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And let's say that like now after the first day, you will wait for a couple of days. What should be happening after that one? Is it again like triple thread, or like where do you start with after that?
Yeah, we sometimes spread out the days then. So something we really recommend are audio notes on LinkedIn. If they connect with you on LinkedIn, normally we recommend sending an audio note. We're seeing about 3 times the response rate versus like a normal written message. A lot of people don't even know that you can actually send audio notes on LinkedIn. So it's quite good from like a novelty perspective. With the content, so the emails, oh, would you be interested in this content? Sometimes as a follow-up, you can actually send it to them to say, okay, here's the piece of content. And then email 3, generally you recommend a personalized video. One of the things I recommend with video is a lot of people just take selfie videos. But with these tools like Vidyard, Loom, various tools, you can actually share screen on your companies, on something that's relevant to the person you're reaching out to. So again, to give you an example, like I said, the trigger of hiring salespeople, I can go on a company's website and on their careers page, it says they're hiring salespeople. I can then share screen on it and say, hey, notice you're hiring salespeople. And people like that because it shows you've taken time to actually research them. So really recommend using that screen share function when you're sending videos.
Yeah, that's a great tip, and actually something that I love to use as well, because for example, like in my case, we are working with B2B SaaS companies, we're a marketing agency helping them. And for example, if I go to some SaaS website and let's say that they have a free trial on their product, and I go through that like free trial, I have my screen recording on, and I pinpoint like, hey, here's a problem, here's a challenge that are probably like somehow affecting on how many free trials you are getting each day, and you can provide value through that. And I really think that's a good thing to do, and not that many salesperson is doing that currently.
I love that tip. And even, you know, because obviously what you're doing with the marketing is right at the top of the funnel, and then we're kind of in the middle between marketing and sales. Often the SDRs are in that role, And you could take that example and I could say, hey, notice you got a free trial. I imagine you're generating a lot of leads. How are you then turning them into customers? Do you have a cadence to do that, right? So I think that's a great example you mentioned about the free trial.
Yeah, exactly. But then if we think about like contacting the clients, as you mentioned that on your sales cadence, there was always like, when I read through that, there was like 2 days later and 3 days later and 2 days later and yeah. So on. But can you open up a bit, like, let's say that you get the client and they are like answering something to you that, yeah, I'm interested about this, or yeah, I wanna hear more. Then you are sharing some valuable information, but at what point you are suggesting that you should have that first meeting them?
I think as soon as they've replied, because you've started the conversation, what we recommend is to pick up the phone after. So if they reply saying, hey, yeah, we'd like the sales cadence, that's why I said often their phone number's in the signature, try and give them a call and then have a conversation. Obviously, like you said, they may not answer the phone. And that's where like a video can come into play, something that's a little bit more human. So yeah, once you've got that response, you kind of got their attention and you can ask for the meeting. But when you're booking the meeting, a tip I have is that a lot of people don't think about this. They say, can we have a call so I can show you a demo of our product? No one's going to get on a call to see a demo of a product, right? You've got to explain, what are they going to learn? Why should someone spend 30 minutes with you? And that's where like the customer stories can come into play. And that's what we do towards the middle of the cadence and thinking about, I'm going to target a head of sales at a fintech, right? So I've got to think about, what case studies do we have where we've helped fintechs? And then that's the kind of carrot you can dangle on them and say, hey, we work with this other fintech. They were facing similar problems to you trying to hire SDRs. Would you be interested in seeing the template they use to book more meetings, right? And then that's more interesting. And again, another thing I recommend is try and get people's interest rather than time. Because if they say, yeah, I'm interested in learning about that fintech, then they'll get on a call with you. But sometimes when you say, do you have 30 minutes? They're like, no, because a lot of senior decision makers don't have 30 minutes. So.
Yeah, that's a great point. Like, should you be asking for the time, or if they are learning about that one? Great yeah. Point there. Yeah. What do you think, you mentioned earlier there that like 30 minutes is something that you typically do? And I think like before COVID and before like online meetings, it was always like 1 hour meeting or 90 minute meeting. Then surprisingly it came down to like, hey, let's have a 15 minute call only. And that actually worked for a couple of months, I think, because yeah. No one had done that one before. It was like, oh, 15 minute meeting. I have time for a 15 minute meeting. But now I think every sales rep is asking for 15 minutes, so no one exactly. Has time. But what do you think? What is the best time, kind of time to ask, even though you are not asking time? Or are you even like discussing about how much time you are looking for? Or are you only asking like if they are interested? And if yes, you kind of are like asking when is that suitable for them, but not asking for 15 minutes or 30, but just sending, let's say, calendar invite for 30.
Yeah, we normally just, we don't emphasize the time. It's more, what are they going to get out of it? It's the same like yeah. From a sales perspective at the bottom of the funnel. So because we're consultants, people talk about our hourly rate. We don't say hourly rate. We're like, this is the deliverables you're going to get. And it's the same, like, this is what you're going to learn on a meeting. And they say, oh, that's of interest. And then you say, oh, I'll send you 30 minutes. So you kind of take control of that situation rather than asking them. Yeah, we find 30 minutes is good. 15 minutes for us is not that. My problem with 15 minutes is that you can't do a discovery and show a bit of the product. Some people yeah. have, and this is a bit of a controversial topic around discovery, but some people separate discovery with their products. Like the way we see modern sales is every call is a little bit discovery, a little bit product. Because if you just do discovery on someone in a sales call and they get nothing from you, I think buyers get a bit of fatigue from that situation.
Yeah, I agree on that one. And then at the same time, I think it was very good what you say, that discovery should also be continuing basically after the discovery as well. Because yeah. For example, if I'm checking our pipeline in HubSpot, we have a place for discovery. And if a company moves from discovery to interested, I'm always like reminding people that we still need to be doing the discovery for like a couple exactly. of reasons, of course, for understanding the customer situation for better. But then at the same time, I think like once skill that a lot of salespeople is basically know to potential clients if there isn't a like great fit. And I think that is something you should be like doing after discovery as well. If you at some point notice, hey, this isn't a fit, you should be able to say that one to client even like after the discovery.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a brilliant point. Saying no to people is such a key skill in sales. I think it's a key skill in life, right? And that's why everyone says sales is similar to life. It's like the times you say no, you're going to save time. And time is so important for all sales reps. It's like the decision makers you reach out to, all the sales reps I speak to, oh, I don't have time. And often they don't have time because they're chasing the wrong prospects who are never going to buy, right? So yeah, it's a great point that you make.
Yeah, exactly. But hey, I think a lot of salespeople are like very familiar with like calling to prospects, sending emails to prospects, but I still think that a lot of people are thinking like what they should be doing on LinkedIn. Like, is it only about networking with people? Is it only about posting relevant content? But what are the like parts on your cadence that you would recommend people doing on LinkedIn in different stages?
Yeah, no, LinkedIn is great. The first thing I would say is LinkedIn is brilliant for research purposes. So like I said, with triggers, we talk about like personal triggers as well. So if I was going to approach you and try and tell you something, I would probably talk about, oh, suddenly I was listening to your sales and marketing talk show with Michael Hansen. And then it's like instantly, oh, at least this guy knows something about me, right? So you can use LinkedIn to find what content people are posting if they're hiring. So that's the first thing, is the research that's going to go into your messaging. So use LinkedIn for me, predominantly, that's the best thing about LinkedIn. And then you've got, okay, how are you going to use different parts of LinkedIn? So yeah, you can use that research. You can put that into a voice note. You can put that into a normal written message. And then you can use LinkedIn more direct, right? To talk about customer stories, as I said, we don't ask for meetings, we ask for interest, but you're still kind of getting towards a meeting. And then there's other touches, which is like actually commenting on people's posts. Like I've seen it so much where I've had, you know, a discovery call, a demo call with someone, and then they've gone cold, and I've emailed them, I've cold called them, I've sent them a direct message, and then I've commented on their post. They may say, I'm hiring someone in Dublin. This happened the other day, and I tagged a friend of mine who's from Ireland and said, oh, do you know anyone? He tagged a couple of people and it started this conversation. And then suddenly this guy who ghosted me for months, he got back to me and, oh, sorry, I've been cold. Like, let's get on a call. So like commenting on people's posts is a really powerful thing as well that I recommend doing.
Yeah, that's a great tip and something that I love to do as well. And it really, really, really works. One thing that I want to ask, you mentioned there that like you are always asking for people if they are interested in like learning more. But can you walk me through the process? Like, let's say that you have shared something and then you have asked like if they are interested in learning more, and then they say yes. Like, what happens that one? How does that yes turn into time in their calendar? Do you like after that one ask for a date, or are you just sending the calendar invite, or how does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question. So if they say interested in learning more, you may offer them a few times. There's different technologies now that can say, hey, these are the times I'm available next week. Something you can do, and especially if they say, this is interesting, let's speak next week. Don't say 10 a.m. next week, 2 p.m. next week. Just actually send them a calendar invite and say, look, I've sent you a calendar invite for Friday. If the time doesn't work, let me know and we can reschedule, or you can book me here. Now, a lot of people that I coach say this is a really pushy approach. And what I say is, actually, this is better for the buyer, because the buyer said, yes, I'm interested. And if you're saying, oh, do these times work? They have to think, where's my calendar? It's a lot more effort for them. So I think sometimes you just send a calendar invite and they accept. And also sometimes what I've heard, especially from like older buyers, is they don't like calendar links. They find them confusing. They can't find time. So give the calendar link as an option, as an alternative, but also either just book them in or like, you know, suggest some times for them.
Yeah, I think that's a great tip. And it is like working. I think it might be that for some people, it might be like feel like, hey, now that person is pushing. But at least from my experience, actually a lot of people are like enjoying the fact that you are making it like easy for them. And then at the same time, I think you are kind of saving their time over there, because for example, let's say that you are messaging on LinkedIn and they have answered that one, they are probably getting like a lot of messages as well. And then your message at the times, it might get somewhere missing on the inbox with all the other messages as well. So it makes help. And at the same time, I really think our measuring in sales is like, how long is your sales like cycle? And I think the faster you can basically put a meeting on the calendar as well, it makes like cases come in faster as well.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think the whole sales velocity, I think a lot of people are calling it with the sales cycle. That's a big topic we're seeing at the moment.
Yeah, but on your experience, on your own like sales cadence, but then at the same time, like when working with clients, like what is like a percentage on like how big part of the prospect answer at some point of this case? Do you have like some kind of, what should the goal number be there?
So you're talking about like the percentage of people within your target audience that are going to like reply or book a meeting with you?
Yeah,
I think it really varies. I think you should be looking by the end of the cadence, the whole cadence, you should be looking, I would say, minimum 5 to 10%. If you're doing like a personalized approach. And then, you know, we've had cadences where it's been like 40%, right? But we never recommend that number, because even though we've done that, it was a very targeted, specific audience. We had a very great bit of content we were using. But yeah, I would say like minimum 5%, it could go up to 40%. That was an extreme thing. But funnily enough, what we found is that it's that first bit. If you really narrow down your ideal customer profile, we've seen that, and we've looked at the messaging for some of our clients where they got these numbers, and we're like, the messaging wasn't that good, but it was so relevant and they had the need and the data. So it really emphasized that first bit to like increase your conversion rates.
Yeah. I can totally agree on that one. If I think about my sales career in the past, I've been selling everything to anyone. And it's super hard to get the like messaging right and so on. But then at the same time, for example, now we only work with B2B SaaS companies with no touch sales model, or they want to go towards that one. So it's like way easier. You have super like narrow ICP, and you can really, really talk on the same language that they are talking.
Exactly.
But every now and then, even though you would hope that people would be answering that, yeah, I am interested about this one, I think there will be a lot of people answering as well that I am not interested for some reason. And I think like typically if you do like only a couple of outreach, like one email, one phone call, one LinkedIn message, you will be getting kind of ghosted for a lot of time. So you end up with getting any response from that person. But I assume that when you do like a lot of touches, actually there will be as well like a lot of more people answering that they are not interested at some point. I would personally be like, at least like, oh, now this this person has been trying to reach me like 10 times or 15 times, and they reserve an answer, even though the answer would be that I'm not interested at the moment. But what do you think, like when person is saying that they are not interested, should you take that as a no, or should you try to convert that one somehow to yes?
Yeah, we say when it's not interested, it's probably the most difficult objection to overcome, right? They're either not interested for a genuine reason, like they have something similar already in place, or they don't really understand what you do and your messaging hasn't been that good sometimes. Or they're just people that just say they're not interested, because some people are like that. But what we recommend is actually the call can help, like, because if you can have an interactive conversation with someone, you say, oh, you're not interested. Is that because you're using another sales training company, or in your case, using another marketing company? Or if you're a CRM, you're using HubSpot, using Salesforce, you can have a bit of a conversation with them. Because we always say with objections, you never want to overcome objections. You always want to understand objections. And it's quite difficult to do that on email or LinkedIn. So we normally recommend phoning them. And then if they don't answer, we'll probably just take them off the sequence, because you don't want to just continue spamming someone by email.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think it's a good point to not kind of answer directly like to their question, but really like understand why they are saying that. Yeah. Basically like understanding the why behind behind that. And I
exactly.
That's super, super interesting. And actually a topic that I was just today talking with one of our sales reps, like you should be always understanding the why behind customers' questions as well. Like if a customer is asking something, you probably shouldn't be answering that question right away, but first like understanding why that customer is asking that question that really, really helps you a lot.
Exactly.
Yeah. But now if someone is thinking that, yeah, we should do some kind of like sales cadence with a lot of touch points and they are currently not doing that one, what is like the most important things to keep in mind, like when starting?
Yeah, so I'm going to break it down into three parts, because we obviously do this with our clients. So we're saying, what do you need from yours? And we don't work with everyone as well, because sometimes they won't have certain things. So the first is know what your ideal customer profile is. One of the ways you can do that is look at your customers who are currently happiest, right? What were their pains? What were their challenges? Target similar companies. And then you can break it down into the personas you're targeting. So like for us, we target, you know, sales leaders, marketing leaders, CEOs of smaller companies. Then there's the industries you want to target. So yeah, that could be SaaS, but I may want to break down SaaS even more specific, like cybersecurity software, fintech. And then the triggers, right? Are they using a particular software? Are they hiring a particular position? Did they get funding? So you narrow down your ideal customer profile. That's step one. Now, with the approach I was using, you also need a bit of content that you think is going to help them in their job. So that's the second thing. What kind of content do you have that you can give them that's not trying to sell your product or service, but is something relevant to what you do? We build sales cadences. So a sales cadence template is very relevant to what we do. And then the third thing is, do you have case studies for the people you're targeting? And do you have actionable results for that? Because if you don't have those case studies, it's very because that's the first thing people think about. Have you worked with similar companies to us? And what was the outcomes, right? So the case studies part is really important. And also with case studies, don't have like generic things like, you know, in your case, it would be like, we did a B2B marketing campaign. Like, well, what happened in the B2B marketing? What were the challenges before? Like, why were they struggling? And then what were the results they got, like conversion of leads, qualified sales opportunities? It's also really important you have specific results about how you work with those companies.
Yeah, great, great points there. But hey, then lastly, I always have this section where I have a question for my previous guest to you, and then you have the chance to ask a question for my next guest. And on my last episode, I have April Dunford joining me. We talk about positioning. And April's question was how to make sure that when you do outreach, that you do it for real. And we discussed a bit about like ICP, ideal customer profile, that is something that is super important. But one thing that April as well mentioned during this question was the fact that even though you know your ICP, but then at this, like in the sales, and for example, when you are talking about like adding a lot of value in the sales cadence already, like how do you make sure that people that are coming for the sales meetings, that they are really interested in buying your services rather than only, you know, there are a lot of these guys who are like saying yes to all the things that people are suggesting them. So how do you make sure that on that one?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is interviewing your current customers and doing a lot of research. Because even if I think, as I mentioned earlier, we're a relatively young company. And I remember when I was first selling, I was speaking to a lot of those people who were just trying to get free advice. And then as time went on, I realized, okay, these are the particular buyers that are more serious. They're chief revenue officers, chief marketing officers, VPs of sales. They're also generally hiring SDRs or they're hiring SDR managers. They've just got funding. So I started to build a profile. If you have new people within the company, they may not know what that profile is. So it's important to train them and also get them to talk to current customers, because also the challenges you're hearing, like when you hear, okay, this person has this challenge, I really know that we can help with that, versus someone that's like, hey, yeah, you've got a sales cadence template, like you said, like we're going to get on a call just so we can look at it, right? So yeah, I think it's that really researching in detail what your ideal customer profile is, because the more conversations you have, the more you're like, okay, this person's probably not going to be qualified or is probably just trying to get information out of us.
Yeah, exactly. And when you can identify those people like faster, you can save so much time and really, really focus on the like good cases where you can get new business rather than just talking with a lot of people.
Yeah, 100%. And the interview thing is crazy as well. Like I'm sure you're doing it with advanced B2B, but I know sometimes I speak to our chief revenue officers or marketing officers or our clients, and I say, look, get your SDRs to sit down with your customers and ask them questions. And they're like, oh, we can't do that, it's confidential. But I was like, if you do that for 1 hour, it will be way more productive than like your whole onboarding process, I promise you. But people are reluctant to do it for some reason.
Yeah, exactly. You can get so much value out from there. I can agree on that one. But hey, then lastly, on my next episode, I have Udi Ledergaard joining me. Udi is CMO at Gong, and I think there's super interesting discussion coming in about what I should be asking from Udi.
Awesome. I think I mentioned to you before, I was very excited about this, as we use Gong with Gong customers, and I also like their content a lot, and obviously he's a chief marketing officer. So I actually had two questions about to write. The first was going to be around why did they do their rebrand? Because I'm always interested in why companies do because I think Gong already had an amazing brand and like good logo and graphics and stuff. So I was wondering what was the decision to take that step? And then the second one is when it comes to social selling, I think the Gong are the best at social selling, and pretty much a lot of their sales and marketing team are very active on LinkedIn. So I was wondering if they did that autonomously or if Udi like encouraged them to post on LinkedIn themselves. So those would be my two questions.
Those are super, super great questions. And I think the second one is something that I really want to learn about, like how to make company be so visible on LinkedIn. So great, great question to ask. But hey, super big thanks for joining me, Michael. Big thanks for all the listeners. If you liked the episode, feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues, and go and do your sales cadence. And remember, a lot of touches, multi-touch, and that will be great. Thank you so much, and bye-bye. This was Sales and Marketing Talk Show, and I'm your host, Samuli Salonen. Thank you so much for listening, and see you in the next episode.